This is the best of BYU Sports Nation. Interviews and insight from this week in Cougar sports. Every Saturday, only on BYU Radio. To lead off, here's the double coverage interview of the week.
Welcome back to BYU Sports Nation, presented by the BYU Store. Great to have you with our day-to-day Cougar sports play-by-play. Jerem Jordan alongside Dave McCann. A.J. DeBonta is on campus now, practicing in the annex, in the Marriott Center, going to classes. And earlier this week, Spencer and I spoke with A.J. for the first time in Studio B.
A.J., so great to have you in Studio B, in Provo.
Welcome, man.
In Provo! Yeah. Like it's happening. It's here. How are you feeling about the new move?
Not great. I've been wanting to be here, and now that I'm here, it's just a finally moment, you know.
You're going to be a college student. What's the most exciting thing / intimidating thing about taking college classes?
I think it's more just exciting just to see what it's like, because I have a sister in college, and she keeps telling me like college classes this. Like, I want to see if like the rumors are true, if it's hard or not. I don't think it's really intimidating. I'm not too nervous about going to college.
As an entry point, which classes, or maybe which class are you most looking forward to as you begin this new adventure?
Jessica Mullen is our like academic like advisor.
Oh, she's a baller.
Crazy. She told me in the fall, I have this one class, all athletes. Now, she didn't tell me like what we're taking, but I don't care what we're taking.
All athletes.
All athletes. So like basketball, yes. Football, baseball. So I'm looking forward to that class. See how that moves.
Have you kind of gotten to know some people on campus already that are current student athletes or going to be incoming besides Xavion, who you played with at Utah?
Me and Xavion have been doing the whole process together. A lot of guys are out right now, injury or just away. But, I mean, I seen Cable this morning. I seen Dawson yesterday. So just trying to just, you know, mingle.
So some familiarity with some of the guys?
Yeah.
A.J. DeBonta is in Studio B and on BYU Sports Nation. How much basketball have you actually played with your future teammates to this point?
Me, Kaba, Xavion lifted today. But me and Xavion has been on workouts. So, I mean, I've been playing the last 20 high school games with Xavion.
Yes.
Future teammates. How's the alley-oop chemistry? We've talked about
that. No, we actually worked on it today.
Nice.
Which was crazy. Like, we did pick and rolls, and I was trying to throw some lobs. Some of them were bad, but it's spring, so
it's April. You're working on it. Yeah.
Richie Saunders announces he is back.
Yes.
Super exciting over the weekend. What was your reaction to that news, and how do you feel about it all?
No, I was kind of scared because, like, a lot of people, they, like, hint at stuff, and he just kept quiet, like, the whole time. So I was like, bro, like, he actually better be coming back. Like, and then when he posted it, I reposted it all that. So now we're happy that he's coming back, and it's going to be a great season.
What kind of effect could that have on an already talented team to have Richie back?
I mean, he was – I don't even know what – I don't even know how to describe what he did last year, but wasn't he – he was all Big 12?
First team?
Yeah, first team Big 12. So, yeah. I mean, it's going to be a – it's not even a great addition. He's been here, so it's just a great piece to have and keep.
How much can you lean on a guy like that who's been in college, who's going to be a senior, who's been at BYU?
Oh, yeah, I'm going to lean on him a lot for advice. Like, I'm going to look at his work ethics, how he works, what time he gets in the gym, and I'm going to try to, like, follow in his footsteps because, obviously, he's been here for 4 years.
You have an established relationship with Robert Wright III.
Mm.
What do BYU fans need to know about him as a player and person?
Nah, player, I mean, y'all go see firsthand, like, how he is as a player. Like, it's a great pickup for us. Like, I think he's a pass-first point guard, but whenever needed to get, like, a bucket, he can do that. Like, he's just a winner. Like, he does all the winning plays. And as a person, he just brings a lot of vibes, brings a lot of energy, funny guy. So, I mean, we'll see.
I like the smile on your face when you bring up his name. Why is that?
Yeah, because I've only played one game with him. Like, it was like an exhibition game. Like, I played outside with him at Slam. But I knew him forever. Like, we went to USA camps together, top 100 together. But we never played on the same team except that one time.
What was that one game like for you together?
It was a win. So that's what I
We like that. We like that.
A lot of excitement with this team, AJ. People saying, you know, fifth or sixth best team in the country right now. Mm-hmm. Lenardi came out this morning and said, hey, 2-seed projection. All of this is preseason, which is exciting, but how do you kind of take that information, even though it's April going into next year?
I mean, you can't really take too much because last year there's a lot of teams highly ranked preseason that didn't really make a run in the tournament or stuff like that because it's just on paper. But we just got to mesh together, work out together, and we can exceed those expectations.
What's the work you have to put in the spring and summer to get to that point where once you get together in the fall, now it's official, you got the whole roster, that you can make that move?
I think it'll be a lot of on the court for sure, but I think it's a lot of off the court bonding. Once you get that mesh, it'll be way easier on the court. You'll know what guys like. You'll know how guys feel, what makes them mad, what doesn't.
At this point, who have you clicked with on the team? I know you haven't played a ton of basketball with them, but like those relationships you're talking about, what is happening that's going well and is easy?
I can't say anybody yet. Me and Xavion, I just knew Xavion for the longest, and I knew Rob, but I don't think I've clicked with anybody yet. Obviously, I've seen guys here and there, but once we all get back together and start like summer workouts, then I can really tell you.
You've been busy. You're not just playing at Utah Prep. You're doing all kinds of things. We've chronicled quite a bit. And it sounds like you're going to continue to do some service with McDonald's coming up next week here in Provo.
Yeah, I think, what is it, May 6th? I'll be at McDonald's off of, I think it's Cougar Boulevard.
Yes.
So I'll be doing some community service. I might put a little hat on, might put a little apron on, flip some burgers and hand them out.
How do you feel about that all?
Nah, last time I did it, like, it wasn't hard, like, doing it, but, like, it was just, like, it's hot. Like, when you're flipping all those burgers.
In the kitchen?
Yeah, it's super hot. But, you know, they have all my respect. But, I mean, I'm excited. Like, I can go to the drive-thru. People will notice me. I might put on the BYU hat with the McDonald's apron.
Yes. I like that.
So, let AJ cook. Let him literally. Cook.
Exactly. What time are we hanging out there?
I don't know what time it is.
In the afternoon sometime?
Two o'clock? 2 o'clock.
Okay. 2 o'clock, May 6th, McDonald's in Provo. Come hang out with AJ.
Awesome. AJ DeBonce is on BYU Sports Nation. You have goals. You're a very goal-oriented person. Mm-hmm. What are you hoping to accomplish as an individual and as a team during the offseason as you get ready for next season?
Individual, I mean, I touched with Wiz and Danielle, just trying to get like my body right. I weighed in at 211 yesterday, 6'8 and 3/4 without shoes on. So I'm really like 6'9".
Let's go!
So, have you grown a little bit?
Yeah, like a half inch.
Nice.
So, I mean, we're trying to get some goals, like probably like by the end of the season, be like 224 around that area and just getting my diet right. So that's like the individual goals. But when the team comes in, just trying to find out what guys like, where guys like to shoot. Actually throw a lob to Kava.
You want to throw a lob to Kava?
Yeah.
You almost can't throw it too high.
Nah, you could throw it too high.
The guy can jump out of the gym.
Yeah, you could throw it too high. Like if you throw it up, actually, never mind. You can't throw it too high.
It's tough to do with him.
Yeah, Wiz was actually talking about, like, he was in the top 3% of vertical jump, and if he compares to NBA guys.
From the combine last year or something like that?
So that was last year, so imagine this year.
That's legit.
Yeah. That is really
So you
legit.
Actually can't throw it too high, so I will be throwing it very high.
We've talked about Provo and the NBA setup that BYU has. The two people you mentioned are the strength and conditioning coach and the nutritionist, both of which have NBA experience. What kind of confidence do you have in this process of, hey, they can get me ready for that level because they've been there?
Yeah, it's all the confidence. I mean, if you're at the level where everybody dreams of going and then you come down a level and are providing that information, like, you can't really get any better than that. Like, they're professional at their craft.
Now, we talked about you working at McDonald's. Like, that's a fun deal and important.
Yeah.
But what is your summer basketball schedule like as you balance classes and some travel?
Yeah, I'm just trying to balance classes. Obviously, I'll try to head out to Team USA around mid-June, hopefully make that team and go out to Switzerland. But other than that, I'm just be here just working out and doing schoolwork.
There's a Noalytics system in the gym that tracks your shots and everything. How excited are you to use that system and kind of refine where on the court you shoot a high percentage and where you can maybe improve?
No, it's going to be good. So definitely, like, when I'm in games and I know that, let's just say, a right wing I shoot better than, I'm going to try to get my shots over there, but I need to improve on the left wing. So it's going to make workouts easier. This data the data don't lie. So it's just going to make way easier to, like, just improve.
We've heard that the guys compete with percentages and whatnot because everyone can see everyone. So that'll be a fun kind of summer situation to be like, oh, I got the upper hand here.
Exactly. Yeah. Bragging rights.
Yes. All right, AJ, let's have some fun and just look over the span of your knowledge of BYU and how long you've been associated with it. But if you can, rewind to the moment you first thought about BYU or was put on your radar, and how much your perception of BYU has changed from that moment to where you sit today.
Funny story. When I was making, like, my top list, BYU didn't make my list. My list. My dad was like, yo, just throw BYU in there. Like, just trust me. Just throw BYU in there. I was like, all right. I listened to my dad. I'm like, all right, I'm going to throw BYU in there. I came on the visit. And I was like, oh, yeah, like, my fault, bro. My fault for doubting y'all, bro. I got to come here.
What was it about that visit?
No, but, like, I'm going to tell you that. But, like, when I was doing it, you know, I was just a kid. I was like, I'm about to put all high radar schools, all that. And then he was like, put BYU on it, like, trust. And I came on the visit. We had the signs. I went to the football game.
Yes.
And it was just like, yeah, I have to.
It was Arizona, I believe, in the fall.
Yeah, it was BYU versus Arizona.
And that was a good game.
It was a great game.
That crowd was hype.
Crazy. I ran out. Like, it was bad. Like, it got crazy. I don't even know if that was.
What was it about, obviously, you're a good son, you listen to your dad. What was it about that visit that made you be like, no, BYU has to be on this list?
Yeah, I mean, obviously the NBA staff, like, the reason why I committed, but it was also just, like, the family atmosphere. Like, I was just wanted, like, by all the fans. Like, I had chants, like, I had signs, posters and everything. I was like, yeah, I can't, like, not turn this, I can't turn this down.
Not that you have a ton of free time, but what do you like to do with that free time, especially now considering that you're in Provo and you are officially a college student?
Free time, I mean, I don't do a lot. I like to travel. I just came back from Cabo, actually.
How was Cabo? We were just there, too, last week.
I was there
on the BYU
week.
Cruise.
On the cruise.
Oh, I wasn't on the cruise. I was at a resort. No, I liked Cabo. That was my second time in Mexico. I had some tacos.
Nice. Fish tacos? What are we talking about here?
Steak, carne asada, chicken, all types of...
All the tacos.
All the tacos, yeah.
Yeah, we were actually in Cabo last week, too, so that's really fun.
AJ, awesome. Yes, AJ DeBonza is with us on BYU Sports Nation. Okay, the NBA playoffs are happening right now. Mm-hmm. We know you're dialed in. You're watching as much as you can. Who is your favorite to advance out of the Eastern Conference and Western Conference and meet in the NBA Finals?
I don't really care who's out the West. I have the Celtics winning.
Okay.
As a Boston guy, right?
Yeah.
So did you grow up a Celtics guy?
Celtics, Bruins, Red Sox.
Patriots? Yeah, everything. All of it? Yeah.
Diehard Bostonian.
Yeah.
So Celtics are going to repeat? Is that how you feel?
Yeah.
No? Okay. What are you seeing in the Western Conference that has your interest?
No, I actually see a lot. I like the Nuggets-Clippers series.
So fun.
I think it's going to go to 7. Mm. The Warriors are actually playing great basketball right now.
With and without
the Thunder
Jimmy.
Is just a crazy team. And then the Wolves are playing high-level basketball right now.
The Thunder are interesting, right? Because they're very young.
Yeah, they are young. But
crazy efficient.
But they know how to play together, and they play defense, which is hard to stop.
I love their post-game interviews where they all crowd around the one guy.
Yeah.
That's really fun.
Yeah.
How you just explain the Oklahoma City Thunder, I like as an explanation for BYU basketball. Young, know how to play together, and they're going to play defense.
Yeah. Maybe we should start, like, gathering around, like, people after.
Maybe that. So Spencer does the post-game interviews a lot of times.
All right, but
so whoever it is, just everyone gather around Spencer.
And we throw in the towels over their heads.
AJ, make it happen, bro.
I got you.
Let's go. Let's go. AJ DeBonza, again, on BYUSN. All right. What do you want BYU fans to know about BYU basketball and what's happening inside that culture?
Yeah, I mean, it's just going to be exciting, like, to game time. We're definitely going to try to play the right way because we're trying to win and try to go to the tournament and do all that, but we're trying to make it exciting. Obviously, you pay for the tickets, so you want your money's worth. We're going to try to have a lot of dunks, a lot of threes, exciting plays, but we're going to play the right way to win.
What are you expecting from your spring semester of school here as you begin classes and everything?
I don't even know what to expect, honestly. I'm going to just go with the flow. I don't even know what to expect. It's my first time in college.
Okay, I want to go back to something you said about, because you're a Bostonian. Are you aware that, the Boston Marathon just happened.
Mm.
3 BYU alums finished in the top 7 of the Boston Marathon.
No, 3!
That's pretty good.
The top 7!
This is marathon you as well.
I didn't know that.
It's pretty good.
I mean, we're just on top always.
Did you ever go to the Boston Marathon
growing
up?
I went to one. I don't know what year it was. I went to one. Yeah.
Nice. It's a big deal.
Yeah, it was.
In Boston.
Yeah. Huge deal.
There's also a report out there on social media floating around that BYU's maybe in discussions to play a game at TD Garden in Boston. What would you think about something like that happening?
Now, that'd be great. Definitely all the family, the supporters that I have over there just coming out to a game. I don't know about selling it out. We might sell out like the first
lower bowl.
The lower bowl a bit, but it'll be fun. It'll be loud. Boston gets loud.
How many tickets would you be asked for if there was a game there?
I'm not answering my phone.
Dude, Ace is over there going,
my dad, yeah, I'm not.
Ace would have to deal with that, huh?
I'm not answering my phone. 2 days in advance.
What about Boston is kind of in your DNA and who you are? Like, how has Boston shaped you?
Just prideful. Boston people have a lot of pride. Prideful. Boston is like a hardworking, like, I don't know, there's Boston, just Boston energy. Like, if you go to Boston, you'll feel the energy. Like, if you go to a Celtics game, you'll feel the energy. If you go to a Patriots game, you'll feel the energy. You just gotta go to Boston, understand?
It's like an anti-New York energy, too.
Yeah, it's literally like a baby New York. It's literally a miniature version of New York, literally.
Yep.
I'm glad you brought up tacos earlier and McDonald's. You're in Cabo. We've talked about crepes with your trip to France, like all of these important things.
A lot of food mentions, okay? Yeah.
So on the food topic, What have you been told you need to eat in Provo?
You know what I had today? I had Neaters.
Nice.
I had Neaters. It was good.
So nice, lunch healthy spot. Sandwich yep. spot. Yeah, yes. Soup, yep. salad, sandwich.
And I had my first day here, right when I moved in, I had Zupas.
Mm-hmm.
Also a favorite of mine.
Yep. Fire. Love okay. Zupas, too.
Okay. Yeah.
So those are the great. Two spots that I've had. And I had Chipotle, but you had Chipotle everywhere. So
yeah.
I know you're very much on a strict health diet, but if at some point you need to gather some protein and you just want meat, Bam Bam's Barbecue.
Is that where we need to go?
That's the spot.
Is a hot spot. Bam Bam's Barbecue.
I'll keep that in the back of my mind.
Yes. Shout out to our guy Cam True.
We love Cam.
Yeah, that's absolutely. Great. AJ, great to have you in studio.
Thank
man.
You.
Yeah. yeah good, we're here.
Yeah, good finally. Luck with classes and spring ball.
Yeah, I'm
going
to tell you about class
that.
Tomorrow. See how it goes.
Let's can't wait,
go.
Man.
We
that's
will
exciting.
Be following up.
Okay.
I'm sure your dad will be following up too.
Yeah. yeah.
hit up AJ May 6th, 2 p.m. at the McDonald's in Provo. And then I'm sure he'll be walking around the Cougar Eat and the Wilkinson Center. Yeah, as a fellow BYU student, that's pretty cool, man.
Let's go. That's
awesome.
Let AJ cook in all the ways. yeah. Great to have you with us, man.
Thank you.
Thanks for AJ. AJ DeBonta in studio. That was fun. Up next, Lexi Halliday-Lowry broke yet another record. Plus, Ryder Robinson of BYU Baseball had how many home runs last night? This is BYU Sports Nation.
That was one of our favorite interviews this week. You're listening to the best of BYU Sports Nation. This is the best of BYU Sports Nation on BYU Radio.
Right now, that's what I'm solely focused on, is driving what this is going to look like for the group, who is going to be a part of this, going to be really stingy about the culture or the BYU way. The girls know that. And I think with all that, I'm ready to get to work.
Hey, we're ready to get to work. Back in Studio B, we have moved over to the Cougar Council Room and welcome in BYU Women's Basketball Head Coach Lee Kamard, who is now 1 month into the job. Lee, welcome back to the show.
It's good, always good to be with you guys. It's been a busy month.
Yes, it has. In fact, how would you summarize the first 30 days officially on the job as head coach?
You know, usually April used to be a nice, pretty slow month. With the new position and then with the transfer portal, it's been quite hectic, but it's been good. Feel good about things.
What has been the biggest surprise or biggest challenge in this new role in such a short period of time?
I mean, right when it started, the portal was as busy as it has been, and now it's kind of teetering out a little bit. But from the moment, I mean, from the press conference, we already had a portal kid on campus, and for the first, 3 weeks of that, seemed like we had somebody here every day or every other day, and just hosting and, trying to tell them what we have to offer and how they fit with us. It was hectic. And then kind of scheduling and piecing together what we want to do in the spring and summer and how it fits for our girls. And it's been good, though.
What do you feel like is the most notable accomplishment that has happened for you and the staff in the first 30 days?
Yeah, I think kind of solidifying the roster a little bit more. There was a lot of uncertainty for the current players and or missionaries or, what our needs were out of the portal. And I hang my give credit to the staff. I think we've done a pretty good job kind of solidifying that. There's still a few little I's that we need to dot and T's that we need to cross, but so far it's we're in a good place.
What was the conversation like with Sister Kaylee Woolston, who happens to be one of the best three-point shooters in the entire country, who is serving a mission for the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints?
Yeah, it was a great conversation. She was given permission to have 1 hour on a phone conversation or a Zoom. It was actually on Facebook Messenger Live, whatever it's called. And wanted to know, hey, where is this headed? What's your vision for the program? How do I fit into it? And had some specific questions that she wanted to ask. Talk through all of it. I know Kaylee and the family really well from the recruiting process and just through time. But she had some distinct, questions that she wanted to have answered. And it was good. Had a great, very transparent conversation of how she fits. Obviously, we love her as a player, but she fits even more as a person in the locker room and with our group. And from that moment on, when we found out that she wants to stay and be a part of this, we said, hey, stop worrying about basketball, go focus on more important things. And so, but yeah, that was a great conversation. And I think the outcome was good.
There was much rejoicing in Studio B.
Absolutely, absolutely.
So with Kaylee eventually coming back, you have added quite a few players onto the roster. Sure. Most will be here a little bit later, but maybe give everybody an idea of some of the roster additions that you have.
So we have a couple international girls that should be here shortly. We'll see how that plays out, but hopefully in the next 2 weeks they'll be here with Bola and Lara. And Lara's out of the portal. Bola's a high school girl that's playing in Japan. And so they'll be here sooner than the others. And then we have some true high schools playing here in the States that will join us when they graduate and can come here. And we're excited about all of them joining us. And we kind of have decided to do the bulk of our workouts in the spring term. And that was kind of my decision. I want to see how it impacts us later in the season in February and March, where we're at physically and mentally. You know, in the past, we've started in early June, and other than a couple weeks in August, kind of just all the way through. And our girls will continue training, but it won't be mandatory, right? So they'll have July and August to do as they please. Continue their work with their own trainers or here. That's not mandatory. And I think psychologically it just does a lot more for them. I've really felt in the past that we get to the end of February and there's a lot of like, you know, and it shouldn't be, whether we've been really successful or not as successful, playing for a lot, I'm not playing for as much. Still the mental side of it has been really apparent. And I want to see what it does to them at the end of February mentally.
And fresh physically. Approach.
So we'll see.
Overall, how are you feeling about the roster right now?
Like the roster, I think we have a really cohesive group, which I kind of obsessed about as we kind of built this and as we put it together. Love the core that we have coming back. Feel like we're adding a great group, whether it's from the portal or the high school ranks. We're adding more than we probably want to year in and year out. I think it'll end up being around 7. But overall, feel like we have a good roster compilation of talent, of different roles, skill sets that complement who we have and who's coming in.
I want to ask you about some specific names, notably Sidney Benali, who was a big-time recruit.
Yeah.
There's some Indian reservation ties there. Sure. Been watching her for a long time. What does she bring to BYU women's basketball?
Yeah, she's a complete player. She plays both sides of the ball. Comes from a great family. And it's funny because you start recruiting early and you see a kid and you're like, that kid can play, you know. And then you start thinking, who else is in? And it's like, then you see her the next year and it's like, don't discredit what your eyes saw, right? So she's going to be a key person for us this upcoming season. She can shoot it. She can guard it. She's going to never get tired. That's one thing that comes through really clear. She'll pick up all game long. She can beat her defender off the dribble and create for others. Very willing passer. Kind of a whole package, but just a competitor and a winner at the same time.
You feel like an immediate impact player?
I believe so. Yeah, I mean, we'll see how she you know phases in with the level. It's always an unknown there, but I don't anticipate her not coming in and making an impact.
The second player is Olivia Hamlin, the transfer.
Yeah, sure.
Well, sorry, she committed somewhere else, but now she's committed.
Yeah,
to
she was committed to Nebraska.
Yeah,
got asked for a release, and she's coming here. Score. I think she's number 2 in the Utah State record books for scoring. That will be the first thing that jumps out for Cougar Nation. But she reminds me a lot of Jackson Emery on the defensive end.
Ooh.
Really has the instincts to get in passing lanes and just take it from straight, hey, you're going to pass it to me, I'm going to go lay it into the hoop. But can shoot it, can score, can get by her defender. Good athlete, great kid. Everybody that's coming is just fantastic human beings, and we're proud of that part of it.
All right, what can fans expect this year? What will they see different from this year's team that they should be excited about?
I think overall the competitive level of the group and the creativity of some of the girls that are either coming in or returning. I think Delaney Gibbs is a very creative player, and I think that's going to come through a lot more clear in this upcoming season. She'll have the ball in her hands a lot.
Yeah, I was just going to ask, do you want her to be the primary ball handler?
She'll have a huge role in regards to scoring it, guarding it, passing it, creating it. But we have expectations for everybody to make a jump. And that's kind of our approach in the spring, is focusing more on the individual and helping them as individual players. And then as we get into the fall and into the official practice time, to then kind of change it over into the team, focus on the team. But you'll see jumps from some girls. Cougar Nation will be impressed with the physicality of some of the post players that we have coming in. We get a couple injured players in Mariah and Ari back, and they're looking great. And so just overall, great group, fun to see where it's going to go, and we're excited.
Well done. We appreciate you spending some time with us amidst your busy schedule. Yeah. Shout out to your wife, Sarah, and all your kids. Like, it's been a crazy time.
It's crazy. Hey, I was listening. I'm disappointed that Jimmer didn't mention one of his favorite memories.
He didn't mention you?
I served him bucket after bucket in the summer. Where was that in the memories? Come on, Jim.
We need to clip this and send it to Jimmer.
Jimmer, oh yes.
Good point.
Yeah,
Lee, so great to have you with
us. Thanks, Lee.
Awesome. Thanks, guys.
When we come back, more from you. What do you believe is Kevin Young's most impressive accomplishment in his first season? This is BYU SN.
The best of BYU Sports Nation will be back after this on BYU Radio. Get caught up in the week in Cougar sports. This is the best of BYU Sports Nation.
Welcome back to Studio B. I am Spencer Linton. He is Jason Shepherd. And these are your May 1st headlines.
Yegor Demon is projected to go number 18 to the Washington Wizards. That's been a very popular pick in the Athletic's latest NBA mock draft. This is the third recently updated mock draft, joining Bleacher Report and Sports Illustrated, that have Demon projected 18th to Washington.
BYU softball hosting 11th-ranked Texas Tech tonight, opening a three-game series at Gale Miller Field. Final home regular season series for BYU. The Red Raiders atop the Big 12 standings, BYU in fifth place at 12-9 in league. Game one begins tonight, 7 Eastern on ESPN+.
Baseball hosts Kansas State for a three-game series this weekend. That begins tonight. BYU currently sits in 13th place in the Big 12 standings. The top 12 make the Big 12 tournament in Arlington. Game one begins tonight, 8:30 Eastern on BYU Radio and on ESPN+.
You tell me it matters.
It matters big time.
Notable track and field results from day one of the Robinson Invitational in Provo. Aiden Troutner, how about this, broke the 5,000-meter facility record in the rain, no less, running a 13-minute, 59-second, 9,500ths race. He became the first runner to break go sub 14 minutes at the Robinson Invitational. Rebecca Erickson broke her own school record in the pole vault, clearing 4.32 meters. Day two of the Robinson Invite continues today.
Lexi Halliday-Lowry was named Big 12 Female Athlete of the Week for the second straight week. She's the only Big 12 track and field athlete to receive back-to-back Athlete of the Week honors during the 2025 indoor and outdoor seasons. Halliday-Lowry was also named the National Athlete of the Week earlier this week. I think I said week like 8 times.
It's all good. It's a great week.
It was a great week.
Congratulations to BYU Men's Golf, selected to compete in the NCAA Regionals in Reno, Nevada as the 6th seed. The last time BYU qualified for Regionals, 2023. Competition begins May 12th.
Biggest little city in the world, I believe.
Indeed.
Bobo Huang of BYU Women's Tennis was named to the first team All-Big 12 yesterday. Huang had an amazing 19-3 record this season in singles matches, including 10 Big 12 wins in her last season as a Cougar.
BYU Men's Volleyball members of the team 2025 signing class include Corbin Batista and Leighton Bluth, invited to the 2025 U.S. Boys U19 National Team tryouts. Well done, gentlemen. Two of 28 players invited, Batista and Bluth hope to make the 12-man rosters for the U19 Pan American Cup or the FIVB Boys U19 World Championship.
And Justin Sterner pitched another scoreless inning, striking out two batters in yesterday's 7-1 win For the Athletics over the Rangers, Sterner is up to 14 and two-thirds innings pitched, 18 strikeouts on the season, has yet to give up a run. You go, Justin.
They're a team without a destination. They're just the Athletics.
I know. They're just the Athletics. I almost said Sacramento, and that's not right either.
No. Can't call them Oakland.
No, they are the Athletics.
They're just the Athletics. Tell you what, he's doing some really good work. He's going to get paid if he keeps that up.
Oh, there's...
Holy cow.
Already. What he's done already, he's going to get paid.
Still on the way, BYU women's golfers MJ Barrickin and Alexa Udom. Join us in studio to preview next week's NCAA Regionals in Charlottesville, Virginia. Both golf teams bringing it. This is BYUSN.
This is the best of BYU Sports Nation on BYU Radio. The best of BYU Sports Nation collects our favorite conversations and brings them to you every Saturday.
We are live in Studio B. This is your day-to-day BYU Sports play-by-play. I am Spencer Linton. That is Jerem Jordan. Joining us now over the phone is one of the newest members of the Cincinnati Bengals.
Hey, good for you, Spence.
Houdet! Caleb Etienne joins us now on BYU Sports Nation. Caleb, how are you feeling after your NFL draft experience weekend and landing in Cincinnati?
So excited, man. I'm super excited. The wait is finally over. No, I wasn't able to hear my name called, you know, in a draft, but, you know, I was able to, you know, get some negotiation with the Bengals and, you know, find myself a home. And I'm excited, though. I'm excited to go to work and get out there and get ready to, you know, go showcase what I can do.
We knew you would get an opportunity. You've been too good this last year. First team all Big 12. Your combine numbers were incredible. Walk us through sort of the emotions of, yes, wanting to hear your name called in the draft, yet – you have an opportunity here.
Yeah, I mean, I just knew, you know, I had a chance, obviously. You know, I did pretty good at my pro day, like you said. You know, it was just only a matter of time and just, you know, just trusting the process, obviously, you know, just leaving it up to God. You know, I know he has a plan for me. You know, I just have to trust it and just let him, you know, just continue to bless me as, you know, as I continue my career and, you know, just keep on doing what I've been doing. And I just keep working hard and staying focused and, you know, just having, you know, just showing respect and just being, showing up every day and just putting in the work so everything else will handle itself.
Caleb Etienne is on BYU Sports Nation. Let's rewind to the last two or so hours of the draft on Saturday, Caleb. What were those hours like for you and what was happening? What were you hearing from your agent and so on and so forth?
I mean, it was pretty chill. It was pretty calm, obviously. I really didn't hear it too much, but you know, I was just sitting down watching the TV, you know, just watching all the guys getting drafted, you know, guys I trained with. You know, I was excited for them, you know, just as they got their, you know, their opportunity to get their names called and obviously, you know, tackles that, you know, that was getting drafted before me. But, I mean, it was kind of – I was just kind of chilling. I was kind of, you know, waiting on that call. But once I knew it was getting to that time, you know, like seven rounds. They had, like, coaches started calling me and all that, you know, wanted to – you know, get me on their team as a free agent, undrafted free agent. So, I mean, it was just, I mean, I wasn't really overthinking. I wasn't really stressing about it, but, you know, I just wanted the opportunity, to be honest. I just really wanted the opportunity.
We heard about a bunch of prank calls from people. You didn't get one of those, did you?
No, I mean, I didn't. I mean, I thought I got the call, actually, but I didn't. It was like round seven. It was like pick, like 240-some. And I was like, hold on, who is that? I might get a call. And people start pulling their phone out. And the guy was like, I know you wanted to get drafted. But I was like, oh, man. But no, it was a scout. He was just trying to get me to come to their team and all that stuff. But I thought I was doing it. But I mean, whether I got drafted or not, you know, I'm just thankful for the opportunity and just ready to go to work.
The great Caleb Etienne is on BYU Sports Nation. Ultimately, you settle for the Cincinnati Bengals. But how many different teams contacted you in those last moments of the draft that tried to persuade you to join them as an undrafted free agent?
It was a lot. I ain't gonna lie. The Ravens, the Titans, the Eagles, the Chiefs. It was a lot of teams. So I mean, I just kind of try to narrow it, just try to help it narrow it in the bud, like with just the one team that was really trying to negotiate and, you know, really wanted me and, like, to really develop and actually, you know, see me there for a long term. So, and that was the Bengals, and I went ahead and signed with them.
What did you feel like you learned and experienced at BYU that helped prepare you for the NFL?
Just being true to who you are, you know, just having a great attitude, you know, and just being positive every day, and just being happy and just being thankful for, you know, every opportunity, you know, no matter what happens. Obviously, you know, just got to have faith and, you know, just work hard, because faith without work is nothing. So just got to
amen.
Just always stay true to the grind.
Caleb, you spoke on this a moment ago briefly, but you mentioned the phrase, the Bengals wanted you in position with them long-term. What were those conversations like with Cincinnati that made you feel like this is the place for me?
You know, obviously, you know, my agent, they represent Orlando Brown, you know, so he's over there. You know, I'll be able to watch behind him and learn behind him. You know, he's a veteran guy, so he's got a lot of experience over there. And I know they got a new officers, like a couple new officer people, like new coaches on their staff as well. So, and I feel like it'll be a great fit for me as well. So, a good chance to go in there, compete as well, and you know, earn the spot on the 53-man roster.
Have you hit up Ryan Rico yet, just to see the good food places or housing or any of that?
Yeah, and Ryan Rico. Yeah, Ryan Rico as well. Another BYU. You guys I play with in BYU. So, I mean, I'm super excited to get out there and see those guys.
Have you been to Cincinnati before?
No, this is my first time.
Nice. What are you looking forward to about the city? And obviously playing football, but what about the city and being there?
Shoot, I hope they got mountains like BYU.
They don't. I'm sorry.
I doubt they have that.
They do have a beautiful river right next to the stadium.
They got
stadium.
Some great chili. They got some pro sports. Yep. They got the Reds. Yeah.
They have great roller coasters in Ohio. Yeah. And
right
Cincinnati.
By Kentucky.
Yeah. Hey, yeah.
So at least you have
that
going.
All that out. I'm going to go see what they have. I'm excited, though.
Fantastic. Caleb Etienne is on BYU right. Sports Nation. Caleb, what do you feel about the prospect of protecting a guy like Joe Burrow, who was one of the elite NFL quarterbacks?
I mean, it's an opportunity for me to go, you know, just go out there and just do my job and, you know, obviously do it at a high level now. Obviously, you know, it's the NFL and, you know, you got to perform and produce. So, you know, that's what I'm going to do. And, you know, whenever I get my opportunity to go out there and, you know, protect, have to, you know, go showcase that, you know, it's going to be at a high level. And I'm going to take pride in doing what I do. You know, Joe Burrow's obviously a great guy, and he's one of the best top quarterbacks in the league. So, you know, you got to make sure you got the best linemen and the best guys protecting them. So that's what I'm coming to do.
What are your next 24 hours like? And frankly, when do you get to Cincinnati and get yourself situated there?
I leave out there on the 8th. So once I go out there, I think it's like rookie little mini camp started. We just be working and training from there.
How would you summarize your journey from growing up in New Orleans to playing at Fort Scott, Butler, Oklahoma State, BYU, and now getting an opportunity in the NFL?
I mean, it was a process. It was a long, long journey. Obviously, you know, a lot of trials and a lot of, you know, tribulations. You know, just a lot of things. You know, I had to overcome adversity and, you know, a lot of stuff that, you know, build my character and just me as a person. I think it helped a lot and, you know, just able to, you know, be who I am today. And, you know, just so thankful that, you know, I was able to do it and, you know, get the help and support that I have around me to help me get there as well. So, you know, it's not just about me, you know, it's bigger than that. So I'm excited.
Well, on behalf of Cougar Nation, we want to thank you for taking a chance on BYU and playing here and being you and bringing your son and your family into the fold here. We've loved having you at BYU. We cannot wait to see you suit up for Spencer's Bengals.
Caleb.
So, he's excited.
I'm a lifelong Bengals fan. I couldn't be more thrilled.
I can't wait, man. I'm excited. I promise you.
Let's go. Houdain, Caleb Etienne. Thanks, brother. Congratulations. We'll talk to you soon.
Thanks, Caleb.
Sir. Let's go. Go Cougs. Houdain. Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. Caleb Etienne.
Love it.
On BYU Sports Nation. Of note, he is the fourth consecutive left tackle that has a notable NFL opportunity.
Yeah.
Like there were three previous draft picks. Yep. So going all the way back to Brady Christensen, Blake Freeland, Kingsley Suamataia, and now Caleb Etienne.
You go back and think about, because it's easy now to be like, oh, yeah, it was worth it. He's had two JUCOs going, I don't know if this is going to happen for me. And it did. He's worked very hard. He's going to get an opportunity in the NFL. I'm very excited about
it. One of the most improved players on BYU's team last
year. Yes, hope he sticks. I think he will. He should have been drafted. I thought it was weird he wasn't.
Yeah.
Yep. BYU Baseball looks to snap a three-game losing streak today. They play at Grand Canyon. Coverage begins at 4 Eastern on BYU Radio and ESPN+.
Still to come, BYU Track and Field furthers its case for Steeple U with more outstanding performances in the men's and women's races this weekend. What did they pull off this time? This is BYU Sports Nation.
This is the best of BYU Sports Nation on BYU Radio. The best of BYU Sports Nation collects our favorite conversations and brings them to you every Saturday.
Welcome back to BYU Sports Nation. We are live in Studio B. I am Spencer Linton. He is Jerem Jordan.
It'd be weird if two other people came in studio with the same shirt, right? That'd be weird.
Unless they're from the same team.
Yeah, if they're on the same team, that'd be cool.
And in a way, we're on the same team.
We are on the same team.
With that said, a couple of guys wearing the same shirt. Oh. Across the way.
What's up? Carter BYU Cunning and Sebastian Fernandez are here. What's up?
Representing BYU Men's Track and Field. Good to have you both on the show.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
Thank you.
All right, let's just start with an overarching question on the season overall. How do you feel like things are going up to this point? And we'll begin with you, Carter.
Yeah, things are going well. Ball's rolling. Had a couple good meets so far down in California twice. Coming up with this home meet, so we're excited. Heading into championship season, that's when the fun things start happening. So, yeah, we're both hyped. There's good vibes on the team. So, yeah.
You're hoping to sign some more lenses?
Yeah. That would be sweet.
How about you, Sebastian?
Honestly, I had my kind of breakout, or not breakout race, but just kind of like, oh, I'm back to where I need to be race a couple weeks ago. And so I think the ball is rolling in the right direction now. And obviously just in time for championship season, for all the good stuff. So I'm really happy with how it's going so far.
Okay, let's talk about the upcoming Robinson Invitational. It's on your home track, where you train.
Yep.
What do you feel like you could accomplish this weekend?
I think kind of the goal and maybe the expectation is to break four after doing it at sea level. Kind of the next step is to do it at altitude. Obviously, it's quite the feat. Only a couple of people have done it. But with how many people are going to be there and the weather's supposed to be perfect, that's kind of the goal I'm setting. So we're going to have a great pacer, and I think, that's kind of what I'm aiming for.
And to clarify, when you say break four, you're talking about
mile?
Running under a four-minute mile.
Yeah, exactly.
And so, who's pacing you?
James Corrigan. So
the Olympian James Corrigan.
Yep.
And you mentioned the crowd. Is it going to be like during the high school championships or something? There's a big race?
So they're keeping the invite section in the middle of the high school invite. So there's supposed to be, I've heard from coach, like up to 8,000 people there.
Very cool.
So, yeah, a little more than what there has been in the past. So it's going to be sweet.
Do you feed off that energy, Sebastian?
We'll see. I mean, I'm excited to run. I feel like every year I run at the Robinson and run well. And that's how I keep getting on the show. So,
I mean, this is the first time we brought you in before you break a record.
Yep.
It's a new way. I like this.
It's expectation. Break another one.
What would it mean to you to break the 800-meter record again, essentially in your own facility, on your own track?
I think it'd be super cool. I mean, I've done it twice before, and now in front of the 8,000 fans watching would be super cool. I'm sure that would be like a really cool environment. And then just having graduated from BYU, like, it would just be like my way to have my last little impact on BYU before I'm like off on going hopefully to nationals, but then on to bigger things.
And walk us through like Tyler Matthews and you kind of going at it with the 800, right? And he's setting the pace or something.
Yeah. So
what's the story there?
I think coach is gonna have him pace a mile and then pace the 800 like 10 minutes later. So
wow.
Basically, he just wants us to have someone fast take the race out so we can have like a good race time through 400, 500 meters, and then we're good.
That's awesome. Ryan Waite, one of your assistant coaches, he mentioned that, like, you're the strength guy, and you're the speed guy, but you guys help each other.
Yeah.
Kind of walk us through that dynamic.
Yeah, so I'm kind of in a weird mix where I train with the distance guys, so I'm getting hammered by them in the long distance workouts, and then I come work out with Seb and Tyler, and I'm getting crushed by them too. So
that sounds amazing.
It's kind of the perfect storm of me getting hammered Tuesday, Thursday every week, and then but it's good. I mean, it makes me strong and it makes me fast, so it's fun to have those guys.
You still enjoy this?
Yeah, yeah. Some days I question why I do it, but. No, it's a good time.
There's a little bit of that. We've heard that before from Jared Ward. I think he came in and said, when I graduated from BYU, I did marathoning, and I was like, I hate this. Like, yeah. Why am I doing this? There's a little element of that. So why do you do it?
I mean, I do it just because I love it at the end of the day. Like, I love, obviously, chasing times and winning. But, like, the process is the best part with the guys every day. So, I mean, even though, like, some days are hard and tough, like, just being with the guys every day and suffering out with them is why I do it. I love it. So, yeah.
Carter Cutting and Sebastian Fernandez of BYU Men's Track and Field are on BYU Sports Nation. This is not an exaggeration. It feels like at least twice a week, Jeremy and I are talking about BYU Track and Field in some capacity.
And another
record. Breaking another record.
Right, yeah. Now it's like five times a week, I swear.
Yeah.
It's awesome. Almost every day is what it feels
another
like.
Another top 10.
What is that like for you to be in the culture and a very competitive dynamic like that, meet in and meet out? Obviously, it's driving you to run better, but what's that competition like within the team? Carter, we'll start with you. Sorry.
Yeah. It's great. I mean, it's kind of, the bar seems to be raised, like you guys say, every week. It's like something new's happened, new record, new time. So, I mean, it's kind of cool to feed off that energy. I mean, I think track's all about momentum, and when you've got that, especially at the university too, just with all the great things happening here, just like that expectation of winning and setting that bar higher and higher each year, it's pretty cool, and it's easy to feed off of when you've got guys you're training with. And you're like, oh, they're doing this, like, why can't I? So it's pretty sweet. Yeah.
The pressure element. So, Sebastian, how do you handle that?
Well, I kind of just stick to what I know. I feel like, yeah, I see, like, all my teammates running super well, and it's really encouraging to look at their times and be like, yeah, I was working out with them. Like, Carter and I kind of do that together sometimes. I was like, yeah, dude, you're killing it in this workout. Like, and then he goes and, like, balls out in a race, and I'm like, oh, sick. And I'm like, well, now I can do that too. Like, I was working out with him. I was hanging. So it's really encouraging to obviously be surrounded by so many incredible athletes. And then, yeah, just, like, stick to what I do, like, go race. And I know that, like, when I race that, if it goes well or if I'm, like, on my best day, like, it's going to go well and it's just going to be sort of enjoyable, like, as enjoyable as it can be to run an 800 meters.
It's not a fun race.
Feel the burn.
It's such a difficult race.
You guys have talked about it, but be specific on, like, which guy are you like, oh, yeah, so-and-so Olympian. They're around the track all the time, and it's fun to talk to them. And they're just one of the guys or one of the girls, right?
Yeah, no, it's crazy. Even, like, Connor Mance still runs with us just as much. Like, I was doing grass loops with him this morning. It's kind of weird. You kind of have to pinch yourself. Like, this guy just got fourth of the Boston Marathon, like, mixing up.
He's just hanging out.
Yeah, he's one of the guys. So it's pretty sweet. And then you got guys that are on the team that are Olympians. And so, like, that's, yeah, it's just insane.
I love the fact that James can just be in, like, a math class and
no one knows.
This guy was in the Olympics. Like, yeah. It's amazing.
Carter, as you have traveled across the country into different meets, how is BYU Track and Field received in general by other teams?
I mean, I think there's always that little bit of people are a little annoyed that we're a little older. But, I mean, I think for the most part, people respect that we work hard and run fast times and have that respect towards other teams. But, yeah, I don't know. I think it's kind of the same. We get a little bit of the split short banter from what's happened, but other than that, I think it's great. Yeah.
Walk us through repping USA here. Where was this? When was this?
Yeah, so this was Lima, Peru. This was this summer. It was a great experience. Unreal. Like, great crowd, competing with the best guys in the world, under 20. So it was an honor to represent the country, and hopefully I can do what James and Kenny and Connor and all those guys. Yeah. And
so many.
Yeah, exactly. There's too many to name.
That wraps up the best of BYU Sports Nation this week. Tune in next Saturday for the Cougar news you need to hear. And catch the BYU Sports Nation simulcast every day at noon Eastern, 9 Pacific on BYU TV and BYU Radio.